Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome back to Reign and Love Ministries. It is a blessing to be here. It is a blessing to be still in the land of the living. We give the most, we give praises to the Most High God, Yahweh. We thank Him for another blessed day. Thank you for our life, our soul, our health and strength. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for surrounding us with loved ones. We bless and praise your holy name. Amen. It is good to be here. Amen. We're going to go ahead and jump right on into the word. We're not going to spare not a minute or a moment. I'm excited to be here. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living and to be amongst the children of the Most High God. Amen. We are preparing. Amen. You say, what are we preparing for, preacher? Reverend, what are we preparing for? We are preparing for the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So whether he comes back tonight, tomorrow night, next month, next year, amen, next 10 years, amen, even if it's not in our lifetime, we are still preparing. We want the saints to be ready for the Lord and Savior. Amen. It is a very, very important thing that the saints are getting ready. Amen. Getting ready for the gathering together. Amen. So with that being said, let me go ahead. And I'm just going to go ahead and just start out with a prayer. Like I want to go ahead and jump right on into this thing. We don't want to spare a minute or a moment. So we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. And we're going to go ahead and read some scriptures. We're going to go ahead and get started. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for being such a loving and awesome God. We thank you most of all for salvation. We thank you for sharing your son with us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for sending him to redeem our souls, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the restoration. We thank you for the greatest gift known to mankind, amen, which is eternal life. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, dear Heavenly Father. Father, we come from no shape, form, or fashion, dear Heavenly Father, but just for the love of your word, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying, dear Heavenly Father, that thy holy will be done. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praising and blessing your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us with the strength, amen. We just come praying, asking for more spiritual wisdom and knowledge, amen. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore, amen, amen. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and read, amen, the context of love, which is by Paul, coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. We're going to go ahead and run it through, get it going. Amen. Amen. Excited to be here. Hope everyone's had a blessed and wonderful week. Amen. I know the weather here in Texas has been a little cool, a little chilly, but it warms back up. Today was a really nice day. I would say we probably got close to the 80s today, if not in the 80s, somewhere between 75 and probably the low 80s. It was really nice today. Amen. So, amen. Just we're bracing, amen, because we keep hearing this, you know, going around that this the winter's going to be rough again. So we are just praying for you and your loved ones that you all take care and stay safe, that you are prepared as much as you can be and as much as you need to be. Amen. Don't be out and spend unnecessary if you ain't got it now. If you're a millionaire and you got it, it's probably okay for you spending a little few extra dollars here and there. But if you ain't got it like that, amen, get somewhere and sit down and put some money up and store storage, whatever you feel like you need to store up, amen. Go ahead and store up, amen. So let's go and read what the scripture says. The scripture says, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But we know in part we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, charity, these three, but the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Again, dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come praying, asking that your Holy Spirit come forward and bless your word and bless your people. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. I want to talk about the Lord's Day. Amen. The Lord's Day. You say, brother, what is the Lord's Day or the Day of the Lord? Amen. The Day of the Lord is going to be a time in the book of Revelation, amen, where God is going to issue out judgments and punishments. Amen. You say, well, why are we talking about this eschatological subject? Amen. Why are we talking about this subject, the Day of the Lord? We are talking about this subject because you have people who actually believe that the children of God, the saints, can you imagine that? The saints of God are going to go through the worst period on this planet, on this earth. Daniel talked about it over in Daniel, the 12th chapter. Christ talked about it over in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Christ reiterated what Daniel said. Daniel said that there has never been a time like it, nor till now, or even after this time. Christ said the same thing. There will never be a time like it, nor to the present, and nor shall there ever be a time like it after that time. 7 years. The tribulation is 7 years. Amen. You got some people who have the nerve to say it's not going to be 7 years. You know, scholars and Bible studies and people, ministers and pastors that study eschatology teaching and study, have done their research, and we've all come to the conclusion that it has to be just 7 years. I actually thought at some point in the past, I said, well, maybe the tribulation is, remember, because the book of Revelation is a book of signs and it's a book of I forgot what you call it. It's not signs, it's symbolic. There we go. It's a symbolic book. Some things represent symbolism. And so, you know, we always say, well, is it 70 years? Because some people say, well, it can't just be 7 years. I actually thought the tribulation would be 700 years. And what I thought it was the events that took place in the Bible stretched out over 700 years. And so its severity would not be, you know, crammed together in 7 years, but would happen throughout a space of time for a 700-year period. And after further study and research says, no, not 700 years. And I said, well, because I said, well, 700 years is a very long time for man. And not saying that God wouldn't permit that to happen for them to suffer that long, but the fact that the earth wouldn't even last, you know, 700 years of what's going to take place in that 7 year period, because man would destroy himself, and then just the things that are going to happen on the earth, man would be wiped out before we reach the 700 year period or even a 70 year period. Minister Elder Bazaar has done a great job in breaking down the 70 weeks. And so we see from the 70 weeks, and according to the calculation from the Old Testament into now, that it is just only 7 years. You got people out there that's actually got people following them. They call themselves so-called pastor, preachers, and teachers that say that the tribulation is not 7 years. I don't know where they get that from, because the Bible talks about a time and a half, and so which is 3.5 years. And so it says it twice, which equals a 7 year period. The Bible breaks down. They've done the math on it, and the math is perfect. The numbers line up. It is a 7 year period. Now, you got some people out here that's, again, false teachers that are teaching people that the church will go through the tribulation. And so that's what we're going to deal with today, is to explain, because a lot of people say, well, how do you know the church is not going to go through the tribulation? Where are you getting that from? And it's, you know, people are funny, you know, and I understand that people are not, they're not walking in the Spirit. I don't believe that they have the Holy Spirit to teach otherwise, because how in the world can you teach that God's people, where do you get that from? There's nowhere in the Bible that I've read any type of study I've done on Revelation, throughout Thessalonians, throughout the books of Christians, what Paul wrote. There was nothing, no signs anywhere in Scripture. In fact, since I've been studying, I've actually found more information to support our teaching that the church would not go through the tribulation. I have not found any context in the Bible through Scriptures or chapters that coincide or support the theory that the church will go through the tribulation. I have not found it. I have yet to find it. Some people say, well, the symbolic meaning over in Revelation 4:1, where John was caught up into heaven, does not represent the church going to heaven. It's symbolic. They don't get that. They say, well, no, that's John. Well, we know that John was called up, come up hither, but the church was not ever mentioned again after the first three chapters in Revelation. You only see the saints. We why we say the church, because we know that Paul talked about the saints. The saints represent the church. The saints, the church were in the saints when they returned back with Christ in Revelation 19, and also in the book of Jude, where Enoch also mentioned that the saints, the church, which were the saints were included in that number, were going to come back. He said that I saw a number that no man could number. So this is how you know that when John said I saw a number, he was referencing, because who's in heaven right now? Who's in heaven? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the angels. The spirits of the saints that have passed on, we believe, are in paradise, which is in heaven before God. The souls are in heaven. But we believe that the souls are not conscious at this time, meaning that it's like a soul sleep. The souls are resting in heaven. And those souls were at a time when the body rejoined, because in order for us to be one and to be whole, to be in a conscious state as the saints, our spirit and body must be what? Because that's how God intended on it. But I'm going deeper. I'm going into some more deeper. I'm going deeper. That's how God intended it in the beginning when he created Adam. When the Bible said when he breathed to Adam, Adam became what? A living soul. So that means spirit and body is one. But because of Adam's sin, his disobedience, him and Eve, the devil, Lucifer, through death, was able to cause death on mankind, meaning that if something happened to us on this earth, physically to our bodies were able to be severed from our souls. So when our bodies perish on earth or decays in a grave here on earth, where does our soul go? Our soul, I've taught this before. I have a whole sermon in, I think, 2 weeks of study, sermon teachings on this, that talks about how your soul goes somewhere when it's separated from the body. When you die, your soul goes somewhere. If you believe the angels come and get you, I showed you in Scripture where the angels actually come and get you and carry you to heaven. That's in Scripture. I showed you that. I also showed you when those who don't believe, their souls are carried where? To Hades, hell. Okay? So what are we talking about here? Okay? Getting back to the Scripture, we're talking about the day of the Lord, talking about the saints being gathered together. When the trumpets blow, amen, the saints are going to heaven. We will not be here. Paul talks about that. He talks about the appearing of Christ. People don't understand that Christ is going to appear to mankind. He's going to appear to mankind three times. First time he was born of the Virgin Mary. The second time he's going to appear. Again, he's just going to appear. He's going to actually come, and he's going to appear in the air to get the saints. The third time, he's going to actually come back to the earth, which is actually known as the second coming of Christ. The first coming, he was born to Mary, the Virgin Mary. The second coming, he's coming back with the saints. And then after that, after he put all his enemies under his feet, we're going to reign 1,000 years with Christ. Okay, that's to be understood. So now we're going to get back to the day of the Lord. The church, the reason I'm talking about the day of the Lord, because people don't even understand what Revelation is about. Again, the day of the Lord is what it's about. What is the day of the Lord? Is the day of the Lord is going to be the judgments and punishments that's going to come on this entire planet. Egypt experienced of the wrath of God, and that's what we're talking about. That's what the day of the Lord is about, the wrath of God. So think about that. Let's stop and think for a moment, because I'm just thinking to myself when I hear people say, oh, we're going to go, the church is going to go through the tribulation. I'm like, that is such silliness, foolishness. What do you get? Think about this. A God that loves his children. God loves everybody. So let's not make that mistake. God loves everybody. But he definitely loves his children. So who do you think is going to have more favor with God? The people who believe in God, that walk this earth in his spirit, through his Holy Spirit, preach his word, live his word, teach his word, show love? Who has more favor with God? Or do the people who curse God, blaspheme the Holy Spirit, care nothing about God, reject God, don't want nothing to do with God, don't want to hear no word, want to live their life, do whatever they want to do, do you think they're going to have favor with God? So you mean to tell me that God's going to group us together and punish us with the people who reject him? That makes absolutely no sense. Our God is a God of understanding. Our God, the Bible says, do things decent and in order. God is not a God of what? He's not the author of what? Confusion. Why would God, that's confusion. Why would God allow his saints, his children, his seed, to stay on the earth? And if the day of the Lord is about punishment, I got one even better for you. Oh, my God. See, the Holy Spirit speaks. I got one better for you. Do you remember the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt? My God, boy, my God is good. Watch this. The Holy Spirit just revealed this to me. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the plagues of Israel hit Egypt, do you really believe that the children of Israel suffered the same fate that the people, the Egyptians did? Remember when the death angel came? See, God always gives his people what? Warnings. Warning always comes before what? Destruction. Warning comes before destruction. So you mean to sit here and tell me when God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, this is what you're going to do. The death angel is going to pass through and take the firstborn of everyone in Egypt. Meaning that the children of Israel were subject. See, you can be born of the household of Israel, but you have a choice to become saved. Do you know that the seed of Israel is on this earth right now today, still alive, scattered abroad on all four corners of the earth, on all seven continents? The seed of Israel is on this planet. My God, that's deep. And we are subject to the wrath of God if we disobey God. That's what happened to the children of Israel. That's why the children of Israel suffered the way that they had suffered when they kept what? Being disobedient to God. You're going to suffer the wrath of God. God said, okay, if you want to be disrespectful, that's just like me. I remember in our household, mom, dad, and the six boys, we were all born of the household of Jacksons. But, man, if we disobeyed mom or dad, if we disobeyed him, we suffered what? His wrath. We got our butts whooped. That's just what it was. You're going to get a whooping for being disrespectful or disobedient. But when you act, you know, in accordance under his commandments, under his rules and regulations of his house, there was no wrath. There was no discipline. You lived in his good graces. We enjoyed life peacefully. But if you got out of order, you had to suffer the consequences. And this is what we're seeing when we begin to talk about the day of the Lord. The wrath of God is what? Judgments and punishments. That's what Revelation is about. And it's about the last 7 years that the seed of Israel is going to preach to the rest of the world. They have 7 years of ministry to preach. And this is the opportunity for them to actually preach unto the entire world. Why? because we have radio, we have TV, we have social media, especially through social media. People are copying and doing everything that they see on and through social media. Okay? So you think about, put your mindset in Egypt. When you have the children of Israel and the Egyptians who rule over them for 400 years at that time. But through Moses, God warned the children. Now, that was up to them to put the blood around the door. It was up to them to be obedient. And if they chose not to do it, they knew what death was coming. They knew that the death angels were coming. See, this is what God is doing for you all. God is sending ministers who rightfully divide the word, who are teaching the true gospel, the true word of God, that is warning you, how do I prepare for the great tribulation, for the worst time that's about to hit this planet ever? This is spiritual warfare. Man, you can't prepare for this. People talk about what you got to do is buy. I saw one guy, he calls him a pop, talking about get guns and food. Guns? Bullets? So you mean to tell me you're going to trust guns and bullets over the Holy Spirit? Man, I'll take the Holy Spirit any day over a gun and bullet. Oh, what you going to do, brother? I ain't got to do nothing if somebody approaches me with a gun. Like I ain't been approached before by a gun. I've been approached before by a gun, but you know what? The Holy Spirit stepped in. See, what you got to understand is that can't nobody do nothing to you if the Holy Spirit intervenes. They can point that gun right at your head. It ain't nothing nobody can do without the Holy Spirit's consent. Without God's consent, they can't hurt you, harm you. See, the devil, the Bible says that the devil comes like a roaring lion seeking who he can what. That's all the devil can do is roar at the saints. He can't do nothing. I've had people roar at me, make threats, make all this type of threats, point a gun at your head. Okay, you can roar. But you can't do anything. See, God is in control. I'm just telling you what I know. God is in control. A person can come up to you and make threats on your life, but they cannot take your life without the permission of God. Man, don't you know the Holy Spirit will strike anybody down? God controls lightning from heaven. And, man, if I know anything can probably move travel faster than a bullet, it's got to be lightning. Man, I don't know how much faster lightning can travel faster than a missile or a bullet or the spears. Man, lightning can, man, let me tell you something. God is so powerful. He's so awesome that, man, if anybody, the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Man, you better know the scriptures. Look at here. Can't nobody touch you? Why are the saints so fearful? I know pastors that got guns. I just look like, why do they got guns? Oh, we're going to the shooting range. The shooting range? What we plan on shooting? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit can protect you? See, let me show this real quick. The Holy Spirit can protect your house when you're away from your home and while you're in your home. Do you know that you are not guarded? There is no way possible for man to guard himself 24/7. It is impossible. Why? Because we get weary, we get sleepy. You got to go to sleep. You get weary, you get caught slipping, as the young people say. Oh, you slipping, brother. That means that you ain't paying attention. See, you can get caught slipping at any time. This is like they used to say back then, this is how you get got. That's what they used to say in the street back then. Oh, he got. People drive up and catch people off guard. People get shot and killed all the time. People get carjacked all the time. They got what? He got caught slipping, or he got. See, you're not going to escape the evils of this world without the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of God being omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing, staying from harming you at any time, because he knows far before a person even proceeds in their mind to harm you. God already knows. God can strike them dead before they even get near you, before it even becomes a thought, before they can even come around the corner to see you. God can wipe them out, and you'll never know that threat was coming. See, that's my God. But you got people that's supposed to be children of God walking in fear. I got my gun. They may come up and you don't know who may stop. What's going to happen at the light? I'm like, didn't the Bible say that God had not given us the spirit of fear? Why is Tim going to take on that stress? I'm going to load up a gun, stick it up under my seat, and I'm watching over my shoulder. You get hit by a car. Now what you going to do? See, the enemy can attack in so many different ways. So I want to know who you trust in today. There used to be a story that I used to sing when I was young and back in the day in school. It'd be something to say, whose side are you leaning on? you're leaning on the Lord's side. We got a lot of saints that ain't leaning on the Lord's side. They lean on the devil's side because they got guns. They got bullets. I've known saints that got racks of guns, shotgun here, shotgun. I'm just like, Lord, have mercy. You going to mess around and shot yourself with all these guns. You're going to mess around and put a bullet in yourself. All these guns and bullets. You don't know if the gun is loaded. You don't know, man, you've been to forget. See, man is subject to so much because we're not perfect. We're not omnipresent. We're not omnipotent. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. Only God is. Lucifer, Satan, the devil is definitely not. He wants to be. Only God is. Only Yahweh is. Only Yahweh has the power to see everywhere at all times, okay? Everywhere at all times. So consideration that while you're doing all this preparation, all this buying weaponry, putting up you guarding your house. Now, don't get me wrong. I lock my doors when I'm in my car. I lock my doors, and I'm not even sleeping. My doors unlocked, okay? Now, you know, we use common sense on everything that we do, okay? But what I'm saying to you is I'm just not going to go out my way, okay, to go get a weapon. I got family members that got guns. I even got family members that, you know, are believers that got guns. You know, all glory be to the Most High that some of them have been delivered from the fact that they need to carry a gun all the time after conviction of the Holy Spirit. We had a talk, and, you know, I was telling one of my family members, I was like, brother, the Holy Spirit got you. You don't need a gun in your car or just in case somebody stop you or just in case somebody might do something. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. God said, I got you. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, is to protect you at all times. See, while I'm over sleeping and slumbering, I almost said slobbering, maybe doing that too. While I'm over sleeping and slumbering, and that's when you're at your most vulnerable time point. And when you're sleeping, anybody can come in and do anything to you when you're sleeping. Okay, you're vulnerable at most points in your life. You're vulnerable. You least expect things when you're with your family, when you're out shopping. Your mind is not on somebody may attack you. That's why I always pray for the women and children and for the women because women are getting attacked so much out here. You see women going missing, being murdered. They find their bodies 2 or 3 years later. It's just amazing. They're like, this stuff is really happening. We got to be praying, saints. That's because the saints are not putting God first. Instead, they're putting the guns and the bullets and the trust in man and objects and materialistic things instead of putting their trust in the Holy Spirit. So you mean to tell me that you're going to trust a gun, something that's made by man, to protect you instead of the Holy Spirit? I'll take the Holy Spirit every single day, all day, 24/7. I don't own a gun, don't want to own one, don't need one, don't know how to shoot one. But like I say, I'm probably one of the people I probably end up doing something to myself while I don't have one. Probably one of the ones be trying to look down the barrel of the gun. Man, you ain't supposed to look down the barrel. You know, you don't do certain things. Some people just don't know. You know, you're not used to handling things. You just kind of curious. I don't need that. You know? So certain things are not for certain people. You know, I've known people who have actually shot themselves in the foot and the leg. How'd you shoot yourself in the foot? Because, again, certain things some of these folks just don't need to be out here doing. Certain people are just doing stuff because they hear other people, oh, God, got me a gun. Everybody buying a gun. I had a friend tell me, she told me, can you get you a gun? But no, I do not. My gun is the Holy Spirit. I don't need no weapons. I don't need that. Okay? Because I also believe that when you buy those things, when you buy guns, you bring stuff to you. That's my thought. That's always been my mentality. You bring things to you when you go and buy a gun. So if you believe in God, you live by the Holy Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you really need to go get you some money. Meaning that you can go sell that gun and them bullets and get you some money, because right now they're in high demand. Go get you some money. Put that money in your pocket, in your bank account. You know, that's just my thought. In fact, the Bible says if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's necessary to have a weapon. I just don't. I'm just going to walk with God. Because I remember somebody told me, well, what if this happened? Well, I mean, it just happens. You know, it was just probably meant to happen. I mean, if the Holy Spirit steps back and say, you know, maybe this is the person's time to go. You don't know. You can't. Here's the thing. You're not going to stop everything from happening. At some point, you're going to leave this world. You can't stop certain things from happening. If that plane falls out the sky and you're on it, there's nothing you can do. You know, if you're blindsided by a car, there's nothing that you can do. So many things happen in this world. But I happen to just believe as a believer that the Holy Spirit is going to protect me. There are times where I've done some stupid things. And I knew it, but only by the grace of God and His Holy Spirit that protected me. I'm talking about like ran a stop sign. I actually have ran a stop sign. Didn't know the light, ran a stop, the red light. Like, man, was that light red? Let me share something with you. I remember one time I ran the stop. I couldn't believe I ran the stop. I said, what was I thinking? What was on my mind? I just ran. I said, and all things crossed my mind when I made it across that intersection. I was like, man, you know what? What if a truck was coming? Full speed. Because there's sometimes people run through them intersections. They don't care. I've seen people run red lights. Man, do you know it's only by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God that watches over us daily? See, that ain't a gun that did that. It ain't you being conscious that did that. And it helps to be conscious. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of things are just by the grace of God. And so you have to take that into consideration, that the only reason why we make it day to day is because of the Holy Spirit. Because of God's grace and because of His mercy. I want to share this little story with you all just to show you how good God is. It's funny now. It wasn't funny when it was told to me at the time. It just wasn't funny to me, but my wife told me, she shared this story with me a long time ago when my son, he's a grown man, he's like 25, almost 25 years old now. I remember when he was a kid, he maybe was like 2 or 3, I think like 2 years old. He's a little man. He could talk. He was a smart, intelligent little man. Well, one day he was sitting in the back car in a little car seat, and he was in the car with his granny, my wife's mom. And they had stopped at the stop, that the light was red. They had stopped the light. Well, he's a baby. He's a kid, but he was very observant at the time. And I don't know what Granny was doing. I don't know if she had her head down or something. I don't know if she was looking at something. But he was in the back seat, and he told Granny to go. And Granny went without even looking to see if the light was green. She just went. And by the time she knew that the light was not green, she knew she found it was real. When she looked up, she was like, oh, my God, and had already driven out into the street and through the light. It was funny. After a little while, it was funny, but it was not funny because they could have been seriously hurt, or even worse, they could have been killed. But, you know, my son being 2 years old, he was a kid, he didn't know it, but he was just like, go. And Granny just went out of the street. But just to show you how good God is. See, God knew that he was going to do that as a child. Being a child, he's just a baby, knew that he was going to do that. It's funny now, but it definitely wasn't funny when my wife told me. But after, we had to laugh about it afterwards because, you know, we say, okay, we thank God nothing happened to them, you know, definitely. But just to show you how God watches over us in our ignorance. And when we're not watching, when we're not aware or alert, again, or even sometimes in our ignorance, you know, like I said, you know, I ran the stop sign that day, not knowing what was I thinking, that I just ran through that stop sign. But what kept me from being seriously hurt, injured, or even worse, killed? Was the Holy Spirit? Was God looking down and saying, see, God is everywhere at all times. God knew that Tim's supposed to run the stop sign. But God made it to where whoever was supposed to come through at that time that could have took me out or hurt me bad, that they didn't come there that day. Or maybe they turned, or maybe they was running late, or maybe they went early that day. See, that's how God works. God works in what? Mysterious ways. This is what I live by, the Holy Spirit. And that's what I encourage you to live by, the Holy Spirit. And I come to this conclusion to share all this just to say to you, man, you know, it's only by God's grace that a lot of things happen. I know I'm kind of getting a little bit offset, but I have to share that with you, okay? But back to the children of Israel, back to the saints, you know, who took care of the children of Israel when they was in Israel dealing with, especially when the death angel came through? The Holy Spirit, God. See, God warns us. He warns us, and he's warning the church. He's warning the non-believers that something is great is coming. I found it funny. I can't remember if I saw a video of someone shared this with me. I want to say someone shared it with me. I can't remember. But I think somebody told me about this. I think it's January the 4th, January the 2nd, January the 4th of next year, 2022. The government is to issue mandate all the country that people are supposed to take the jab in order to work. If you refuse to jab, you won't have a job. I will say that I'm highly praying for everyone who decides not to take it, okay? Because it is your right, it is your body to say what does and what goes in. That no one has the right to put something into you, especially if you don't know what it is. If you don't know what's in it, they don't have that right. Now, they're doing these things, and we said this, or at least I have said this since the very beginning. When I saw that mask mandate in 2020, I said right from the jump, this is alike to the mark of the beast. This is exactly what this is. They are testing out the mark of the beast. You want to know why? This is why they're testing it out, because Lucifer is not God. Only God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Only God can see everything. He can be everywhere. He knows all things. Lucifer does not. So he wants to get an idea of how this thing is going to go when the Antichrist says, hey, you know what? If you want to buy or sell, you must take what? The mark of the beast. He wants to see what he's up against as far as the rebellion against mankind. Remember, mankind can be rebellious. Man can be stubborn. Of course they can, because why? When you disobey God, you're being what? Rebellious towards God. We are rebellious towards the Most High God. Children of Israel were rebellious towards the Most High God. When God told the children of Israel to do something, they put their head down and say, we're walking in the opposite direction. We've done that in our life. I've done that. We are rebellious towards God. Yes, we are. Adam and Eve were rebellious towards God in the Garden of Eden. When they disobeyed God, that's what that is. You're rebellious against God. That's what it is. That's what disobedience is. It's rebellion. Okay? If your parents tell you not to go out at night, and you say, I'm going out to the club anyway. That's rebellion. You've been rebellious. That's disobedience. It's rebellion. Okay? So Lucifer wants to see who's rebellious. What are we up against? That's what it is. That's what this is for. This is a lot. This is the test run for what's to come. But I want to tell you, this is a cupcake. This is a piece of pie compared to what's coming. And as I said it before, you cannot prepare for what's coming. That's almost like saying, Tim, we're going to another galaxy, and we need to prepare to go to, I'm going to look at you like, prepare. How can we prepare to go to another galaxy we've never been? How can we prepare to go to another galaxy if we don't know what's there, what's like? We don't know if there's air, gas. We don't know what we're preparing for. So how are we going to prepare? You cannot prepare for the Great Tribulation, which was what mystifies me the most, that these so-called, I'm going to call them so-called saints, because it's hard for me to say that you're a saint. If you're up here preaching that the church is going to go through the Great Tribulation, and the reason that I say that is back to my point. I'm going to show you some scripture. We're going to get some word. You know me. I love the word. We're going to get some scripture in a minute. But I got to share my thought with you first. Is how in the world does that look? See, if you notice that the children of Israel were separate, especially when they came into the knowledge, when God made it known that, hey, I am your God. Through Moses, now most of them knew that, that God was their God, but most of them had been so long, they'd been in Egypt for 400 years. Most of them had forgotten who their God was, most of them. They had to be what? Reminded. And we're reminding you, the church, that Christ is on his way. See, here's another thing. If the saints are going to be here in the tribulation, let's just take this thought. Let's just take this trip down the yellow brick road. Let's take this trip down Main Street that people are trying to say that the saints will be here. Let's go take a trip down the yellow brick road and say, okay, the saints are going to be here. Don't you know that Christ said, watch, for I shall come as a thief in the night? Well, don't you know that Christ is coming back? We do know he's coming back at the end of the seven-year period. So let's say you happen to make it through that, so you're going to realize that 7 years is almost up. That's not coming as a thief in the night, because I know he's coming back at the end of that seven-year period. So if I count 7 years, I know in that month, that last month. So let's say we start in, this is just an example, January 1. Something mysterious. This is called the man of mischief. I can't think of the word in scripture. This is called the man of mischief. The evil one, the Antichrist, is coming on the scene January 1, 2022. Well, we already know as a saints, if we're here, that what? January 1, 2029. If that's 7 years exactly. We know that that's going to be the last day that, hey, if he comes no other day, he's got to come January 1, 2029. Christ must come back because that would end the 7 years. There's no need of watching because we know he's coming. See, if I know you're coming, if I call you up and say, I will be there at 7 p.m., I don't need you looking out the window because you know that Tim is what? Always what? On time. Tim is never late. He's always on time. He may not come when you want him, but he's what? Always on time. See, God does things according to, he does things decent and in order. So we know that Christ is coming back, or if you know that Tim is coming at 7 p.m., and then you look at the window, because guess what? When you walk out that door, you go to your door at 7 p.m., guess who's going to be sitting up there, or even before 7 p.m., maybe 6:50, maybe 6:55, but guess what? Him is sitting outside in your driveway. Let's go. So you don't have to look for that. But if I tell you, hey, I'm going to come Friday evening, what time you come, you just be ready. Well, evening can be anywhere from 5 p.m. all the way up to midnight or 9 p.m. or whatever you consider the evening. But I don't tell you exactly what time I'm coming. Now you got to watch. Man, I got to watch for him. Man, where this Negro at? I got to watch for him. I keep looking out my window, keep looking at my door. It's 6:35. He still ain't came. See, you watching. So that's why I say it makes no sense when people say that the saints will go through the tribulation. When the saints, because the saints don't recognize, hey, we're in the tribulation. If we got to go through it, this is the tribulation. What's going to happen? The rumors of war. We're going to actually have World War III. That's going to be the first one, the first time. The Antichrist will first. The Antichrist going to come on the scene. Then World War III, famine. There's going to be so much. That's going to be severe. It's going to be severe. We definitely going to know when the water turns to blood. We're going to be like, what in the world? You go to the toilet, water's blood. The water coming out of your sink to take a shower, and in your tub is blood. You go get a drink of water, it's blood. There's no good water. It's all blood. But the fish in the ocean, that's going to smell because the water is, what, like 70% of the earth, I think they say. So we're between 75, maybe 80% of the earth. So if all the whatever's in the sea is going to die, and the sea is going to turn to blood, this earth is going to stink. We're going to be like, man, we got to be in the great tribulation. The stars are going to fall. The moon is going to turn to blood. The sun is going to turn black. Oh, we got to be in the tribulation. We're going to know, the one, those of us who study and read the Bible, read Revelation, we're going to know that, hey, we got to be in the great, this is the great, and millions of people be dying. Maybe daily, maybe month, but millions, tens of millions of people going to be dying. It ain't going to be like this stuff is going on. No, it's going to be in the millions of people going to be dying in a short period of time. And events going to have, going to be just wiping out people by the hundreds of thousands, millions just going to be just dying. We're going to say, yep, we are in the great tribulation. And especially in the last, in the middle of the 3.5 weeks in the middle, and the Antichrist breaks that treaty. And he says, no man can what? Buy or sell without the mark. And you don't have to take no jab, but you got to take this mark. So you're going to know that. You're going to see you before you even get to the end of the 7 years. We're going to know that we are in the great tribulation. We're like, Lord, what happened? I thought you were coming against us. Why you let us go through the great tribulation? We're going to know we're in the tribulation. But we know if we make it through that last 3.5 years, we know that what? That Christ is coming back. Ain't no need watching. We know he's coming. So he's not coming like a thief in the night. If you know he's coming, that's not a thief. See, if I know that a thief is coming to my house at 10 p.m. or 10:05 or 10:07, they ain't a thief. I know he's coming. It's not thievery if I see you coming. If I know that you're coming, you're not thieving me if I know you're coming. But see, if you don't know that Christ is coming, yes, that's a thief in the night. He said to watch. For behold, he said, he said, Lord, I'll come what? Quickly. Watch. That means, okay. See, now you got me on my toes. Because you come today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Now I'm watching for you. And I'm ready for you. I'm living my life day. Hey, Christ, I'm ready. Reading my Bible, studying my Bible, speaking the word, teaching the word, showing love. Hey, he coming back. He don't catch me sleeping. I'm watching for him. So that's how we know that the saints is not going to be here according to what Paul wrote, according to what Daniel wrote, and what Christ said. So the scriptures that I've read and studied, they line up more with the church won't be here more than the church will be here. I have not read a consistent context or really any context that I could tell that the church will be here for the day of the Lord. We won't be here for the day of the Lord. Again, see, people who say that, they don't even know what the day of the Lord is. They don't know what Revelation is even about. Revelation is about the children of Israel have the last 7 years to preach the gospel, to preach God, to preach the Most High God, not the gospel, but the Most High God, that he is God. See, I'm going to share something with you. I've preached this before, and if you all have been listening to me for years, you remember this. I preached about the Shema. See, most people, I don't hear nobody talking about the Shema. People don't even know what the Shema is. You know what the Shema is? The Shema is Israel. Know that Yahweh in heaven is the Lord thy God, and we are to what? Love him with all our heart. Mind. Let me go to that scripture. I love to read scripture. Let me give you, and then when I read, after I read this, we're going to get into some scripture. Let me show you what the Shema is. Shema. Look it up. S-H-E-E-M-A. Shema. Let me show you what the Shema is. It's coming from Matthew's. I believe it's Matthew's, the 22nd or the 23rd chapter. Let me get there. There you go, Matthews. Let me go back. No, I'm a little old school. I don't have no devices. So I use my Bible. Oh, there it is right there. Matthew's the 23rd chapter, verses 37 through 40. That's the Shema. And what is the Shema? And Jesus, Yahshuah, said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy Yahweh with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In other words, with your entire being, you are to love God with your mouth, your mind, your heart, with your physical body. Show joy and dance for joy. Looking, watching for him to come back and being obedient to his word and to his commandments, keeping his commandments. You are to love God with all of thy being. That right there is the Shema. That is the Shema. Matthew, the 23rd, I'm sorry, not 23. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37. I'm so sorry. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37. It's also known as the Great Commandment. That's what the Great Commandment is. It's the Shema. It's the Great Commandment. It's what God commanded Israel, to love the Lord thy God, Yahweh, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the Shema. I ain't never heard no preacher, nobody talk about the Shema ever. I mean, nobody ever talk about the Shema, S-H-E-M-M-A. I'm sorry, S-H-E-E-M-A. I believe I'm spelling it correct. If I remember, years ago I used to talk about the Shema and study and talk about and preach on it. It's simple. Love the Lord thy God with all thy entire being, with all thy might. Love God. I love God. He loves me. I love him because he loved me first. That's how babies are. They love their mama because the mama loves them. But the mama showed the baby so much love. If you notice, let me give you an example. If you know, if you get an animal like a puppy and you just love that puppy, don't you know that animal will love you back? If you feed that animal and love him and take care of him and hug him and play with him, he said, man, you love me. He's going to love you back. See, that's why we love God so much, because he loved us first. The Bible said that the law, he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why we love him, because he loved us first. He is love. He is the first to love. He is love itself. That is the Shema. Okay? I have to share that with you. I'm throwing y'all some nuggets today. I know I'm kind of getting a little off subject. I know we're talking about the day of the Lord. But I have to share these things with you to broaden your scope, to broaden your mindset of what I'm teaching and what I'm giving you here today. Okay? That's the Shema. Nobody talks about the Shema. Come on now. I'm not going to have to talk about the Shema. One day I'm going to do something with that, talk about that. But anyway, I want to share that scripture. Now, let's get back to the day of the Lord, okay? The day of the Lord. Don't ask me how I keep getting off, but I know it's kind of tied to what I'm teaching overall. But let's look at some scripture. Let's go to Joel, the book of Joel, the first chapter. We're going to look at verse 15. Now, I'm quite sure there are other parts of the Bible. I know in the book of Daniel it talks about the things to come when it comes to the end time events. But right now we want to focus on the day of the Lord, because when we focus on what the day of the Lord is, you'll begin to understand why the saints, the church, will not be in the tribulation. Why when people teach that the church will be here then the day of the Lord, that they're teaching in error. That's error. That's incorrect. That's not by the Spirit of God. There's no way possible that it even makes sense spiritually or scripturally that the church, the saints, need to be here. Because once you know that God loves you, you're not going to be here. So some people say, oh, well, you will be here, but maybe God's going to protect us. That actually was a thought of mine some time ago. After I came out of seminary school and I took eschatology school teach, I said, well, is it possible that the saints may go through the tribulation? Maybe God's just going to separate us and protect us. And the reason I thought that, because what I thought the 144,000 was going to be part of the saints. And I thought that, because I was trying to understand, well, how were people, who was saved? I said, well, it had to be the church that was saved in the book of Revelation, but it wasn't. So after I did more study and research, after going through the class, I understood, okay, no, the saints won't be here. Okay? They're right. And once you start reading other scriptures around that, you'll understand. When I got into more deeper studies, I began to mature as a believer and mature spiritually in my study. I said, you know what? They're right. Because I had to take on the theory when I began to hear about other people say, no, the church will go through the truth. I had family members tell me, no, just very small, maybe one or two people that we knew that were saying that silly stuff, saying the saints will go through the tribulation. So it made me think, like, wait a minute, what? We're going through the tribulation? We thought that we wasn't going through. So I began to do my research. I said, okay, well, maybe we will. But as I did more study and research, I said, okay, no, we won't go through the tribulation. Okay. Especially after what I learned, I found the context, and I know I've shared it before. I might come back and share it with you sometime. If I have time, then the show will share it again. But what I found over in the book of Thessalonians, one of the books of Thessalonians, the saints would not go through the tribulation. Okay. So let's read Joel, the first chapter, verse 15. It says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Now think of this. This is going to be like a time like no other on the face of the planet. Why would the saints need to be here? The ones who have loved God, we didn't reject God. We don't blaspheme this Holy Spirit of God, definitely not because we can't, because we have the Spirit of God in us. Why would God see fit? What type of test would that be? I heard somebody say, "Oh, what's a test for the saints?" I'm like, we've already been tested. We've been tested every day. So now, we know that God's no respect of person, but let's just look at fairness, and let's look at fairness from a spiritual standpoint. Would it make sense as the children of God go through the tribulation with those that are disobedient to God? Remember, God is no respecter of person. But in all spiritual fairness, and when I say spiritual, then what do you mean spiritual fairness? We're going to use the word spiritually. We're going to use the word to interpret it. Spiritual fairness, would it make sense for the saints to go through the great tribulation, this seven-year period? So I'm going to take you over to, let's visit 2 Peter. You already knew I was going deep. 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. And this is what I mean by spiritual fairness. I'm going to use the word to interpret, would that be fair for the saints to go through the tribulation? Because remember, I preach the word, I live the word, I show love, I don't reject God, definitely can't blaspheme, nor would I speak of evil against God or Christ, his Son, or the Holy Spirit, would not do that. I love God, because I just gave an example of God loves. I understand the Bible, okay? Not saying that I'm perfect, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, no, I have a lot to learn, but I understand that on a basic level, and on some levels more than basic, I understand it more than your average pastor or average believer or Christian, whatever title you want to take, okay? That I do know, okay? Now watch what 2 Peter, the second chapter says. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Okay? What is the temptations? Okay? The temptations is going to be the things that what? Cause you to what? Sin. That's what temptation does. When a woman come on, a nice looking fine sexy woman or a man, in the case if you're a woman, okay, comes up to you and they're enticing, they're tempting you, what does temptation do? Temptation causes you to sin. Is the tribulation going to tempt people? It's definitely going to test people. If you are starving, let's say you and your family, again, we're going to take a walk down the yellow brick road because some folks want to be silly and believe that the saints are going to go through the great tribulation. Let's just take that mindset of them. Now, I'm not officially taking it, but I'm just going to kind of put my mindset where they're, I still don't understand how they can come up with that theory, but okay, we're going to play with it. You're here in the great tribulation, the Antichrist has come on the scene, and now, hey, beating on his chest, I'm the Antichrist. You kind of notice this man of sin has come on the scene, the man of perdition, okay, whatever. Okay, then you notice that the war has actually turned official. We see Russians flashing, beating on their chest. And then you see, you know, you hear, okay, nuclear bombs are going off. The nuclear war, look, let me tell you something. If you see some of the stuff that I've been watching here lately with some of these missiles, what they could do, they got missiles that can go around the entire planet. I'm sorry, I'm like, what? A missile that can fly around the entire planet? What are we dealing with? So you know that they playing with us, right? They just showing you the bare minimum of the technology that they have. So you mean to sit here and tell me the Antichrist coming on the scene, he beating on his chest, Russia and all these other countries beating on their chest, we in the tribulation. Now watch this. Famine has hit. We're no longer in the rumors of war. We actually are at war. World War III. Not Armageddon, because there are two separate. A lot of people think Armageddon and World War III are the same. They're not the same. They're two separate events. Starvation just hit this planet. Now, you got wife and kids to feed. You're going to be tempted to do some things if you starve it. One, you're going to be tempted to steal. That's number one. I'm going to tell you right now. Now, rather than take somebody's life, a person would rather steal. I don't see God tempting us like that, because that means that if you steal, you can get caught, you can go to jail, possibly do some jail time. I don't know. That'll take you away from your pocket. Then that can lead to a whole lot of other things, a whole lot of other things, okay, that we're not going to even get into. But that could happen. That could be a possibility if we're here during the tribulation. And I'm not going to go into anything else, or, as you know, there's no need to go into that. That's a light thought, because there's a lot of thousand other things that you can get into if the saints have to go through the tribulation. But that's the main thing that stuck out to me years ago when I was doing research, because somebody was saying, oh, no, the saints can go through. That's the main thing. So I said, man, if we got a beer, how am I going to feed my family? Because I'm not taking the mark of the beast. Because one thing I didn't know is that if you take the mark of the beast, you go into the lake of fire. I said, I ain't taking the mark. So that means that if we got to go through there and you got to start, you can't buy nor sell. I mean, you can't take care of yourself or your family. So we're going to live on the streets. We got no food. You're going to be highly tempted. So there's your temptations. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, who are the godly, the saints, the children of God, out of temptations. Not only the temptations of the great tribulation, but just everyday temptations. If I walk in a store and a sexy woman comes up to me or flirt with me, I have been tempted before. God knows how to deliver me. Oh, there's the wife calling. Nice speaking to you, ma'am. Go on about it. See, God just delivered you. God knows how to deliver you out of situations, out of you harming someone harming. God knows how to deliver you. That was a person me showing you the example of the Holy Spirit. God knows how to deliver you. God knows what he's doing. That's what gets me with these people say, well, we're going to go through the tribulation. No, you're going to go through the tribulation. I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord and Savior, with Yahweh. That's where I'm going to be. So if you want to put yourself here with the Antichrist and all those other goons, and all those other goons that's going to be on the earth, you go right here. You go right. You put yourself right through it if you want to. I'll be saying a prayer for you now for your going through then. Amen. So the temptations again is the experience of evil. So will God do that? What I'm saying to you is that you don't have the discipline to go through the tribulation. You don't. You won't be prepared. And that's going to be tough for those that do get saved in the tribulation, go through. The Bible also talks about how they'll be beheaded. It's going to be tough. A lot of them, with the exception of the 144,000, is going to be sealed. It's going to be rough for them to go through that tribulation period. It's going to be, they're going to lose their lives. They're going to die. And that's why it says over in Revelation, the 6th chapter, that they will cry out to God, how long will it take for you to avenge us and our brothers? How long is it going to take you, Lord, to avenge them? At the end of 3.5 years, God's going to avenge them, because he's going to destroy all his enemies and put them under his feet. Okay? He's going to avenge them. It's just going to take them 3.5 years. But remember, at the beginning of that great tribulation, by ourselves, they said, I'm not taking the mark. They'll get their heads cut off. That's it. There ain't no going back. They ain't going to store you up in no prison camps and FEMA camps. No, they're going to cut your head off and toss your body in a little plastic grave and throw dirt on you and keep going if they have time. So you're talking about the experience of what? Temptation. Evil temptation. Okay? Adversity. That's some serious adversity. And again, I ain't got to go in depth with you. I'll let your mind wonder and think. But that's some in-depth adversity when you have to sit there and think about, okay, how am I going to feed my family? In fact, I gave you an example some years ago of an experience I had some years ago, almost 10 years ago, when I lost my job. And I went to the pantry, and I looked at the pantry. Man, we didn't have so much as bread. And I was like, Lord, I didn't know the pantry looked like this. I had been out of work a whole month after I had been laid off. No money, no income, no savings, nothing stored up. Didn't want to borrow because, you know, as men, how we are, we have our pride. We get a little prideful. We don't want to ask, man. We don't want to bother nobody. In fact, when I told my brothers many years later, I said, man, if you'd have known, I would have sent you some money. I didn't know your child that you went through that. I said, yeah, I did. Because I didn't want to add, I didn't want to bother nobody. I didn't want to beg. They turned down my unemployment. You talking about a time that was hurtful to a man's ego. He's asking you, Dad, what are we going to eat tonight? We ain't got nothing. So God blessed us to make it through. Okay? Again, God knows how to deliver you out of temptations. God opened up doors. Someone that I did work for some years prior gave us a contract. That's how we got started our little business. And it was a blessing to us, a huge blessing. And it was, you know, it took a little time to get back on our feet, back to where we were, and then we just more opportunities came for contracts, more, you know, more service came for us to provide business, provide service to customers. And it was nice. God knows how to deliver you out of temptations. So, in other words, God delivered us. It was a short period of time, but it didn't seem like a short period of time, because a month and a half is a long time to go without no money, you know. And then eventually we start, you know, getting money and help from family. But at first, you know, you hold to your pride. You're like, no, they're going to prove they're unemployed. I know they're going to take care. I worked these all these years, and they denied it. And I'm like, what in the world? And it frustrated me because it was the second time that I had been denied before for unemployment after working for so many years. But long story short, my point is God knows how to deliver you. And like I said earlier, it may not come when you want him, but he's what? He's always on time. And in time, and probably God knew, man, let me go ahead and open the door for Tim. I don't want Tim to get out of line and think about doing something he ain't got no business doing. He delivered me before that thought even came to my mind. It was like, okay, cool. God blessed us. So I didn't have to think about doing something I didn't have no business doing. The Bible said God won't put no more on you than you can bear. See, that would be a contradiction of the scripture. The Bible said God won't put no more on you than you can bear, but I'm going to put you through the great tribulation. That's more than anybody could bear. But guess what? The unbelievers, the unbelieving, the ungodly, the rejecters of Christ, the sinners, the blasphemers of God, are going to go through it. God is not going to put his children the same. Those that believe before the trumpet sounds, he's not going to put us through the great tribulation. I'm telling you, anybody that teaches that is teaching you false doctrine. They're teaching an inconsistent doctrine with the word of God. If he says, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. Hey, man, that was more than I could bear. When I said, man, I went to the pantry, I was panicking. And especially at the very end of the month, they told me, you have been denied. 34 days have went since I've been unemployed with no check. Think I wasn't panicking? Yeah, I was panicking. I'm like, we ain't got no say, we ain't got no money, ain't got no issue. I'm looking at mama looking at me. I'm like, what we going to do? Kids looking at us? You can't really tell them what's going on because you don't want them to pay. You don't want to put, you know, kids on really understand it. No way. Because they, you know, as far as the kids concerned, money grow on trees, right? Mom and daddy always eat good, feeding us good, taking good care of us. We good. We living good, eating good, enjoying good, entertaining good. Kids don't understand that. They think money grows on trees. And to them, it does in a sense. Money grows on trees. And so the Most High God, amen, was such a blessing, such a blessing, amen, because he came on time. He opened up a door. I was like, wow, look at God. Look at Yahweh. Huh? Look at Yah. So he made a way. And he made a way that I definitely didn't even see coming. I said, well, thank you for this. Thank you for the business. And so, again, what we're talking about is 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. I didn't finish reading this scripture. But I have to show you how God is able to deliver us out of temptations. God can deliver you. What are you talking about? What are you saying when you're saying that God cannot deliver the saints? God cannot deliver us from the great tribulation. What school of thought have us? What spiritual school of thought do you come from? Because it can't be from Yahweh to say the church is going through the tribulation. Now watch. I'm gonna finish reading this verse. Then it says in verse 9, and to reserve. In other words, I got an appointment for you unbelievers, blasphemers, scoffers, rejecters of my son. I got an appointment for you. You reserve the unjust. In other words, I got something to say. See, when you reserve something, you got something saved. See, he ain't saving the tribulation for us. He's saving the tribulation for the unbelief. I've reserved the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That's the day of the law. So you telling me that God's going to have the saints to be punished? Why? God, why me? I'm preaching your word. Teaching the word. And some people say, oh, you just don't want to go through the tribulation. You're right. I don't want to. Who in their right mind, after Daniel said, after Christ said, it is going to be the worst time? You think the flood was bad or before the flood, when Enoch and them was here on the earth, knowing them was on the earth with giants and monsters and creatures? That wasn't even the worst time on the earth. When Noah and Enoch, when them all walked the earth, when they walked the earth, now I would have thought of any time on the earth would have been the worst time to be here. As when Enoch and them was on the earth. Because Enoch and them saw some creatures that were not human. They saw some stuff that the fallen angels had slept with women and slept with animals, had created some monstrous, read the book of Enoch, created some monstrous beings, some monstrous animals or creatures, whatever you want to call them. I'm like, man, I wouldn't want to be here. You got man is already monstrous enough. Man, I'm serious. Men are monsters. When you rape a woman, beat a woman, molest a child, kill a man, kill a woman, cut up people's bodies, organ harvesting, sex trafficking, you're a monster. Let's just call it what it is. You are a monster. And then the time of Noah and Enoch, true actual monsters roam this earth with giants. Man, I couldn't imagine walking in around some trees in a park or something, and a giant 13-foot tall just step out in front of me. Like, what in the world is this thing? I can imagine driving down a highway and a 20-foot giant run across the road or something that's 12 feet, 15 feet run across the highway, because I'm quite sure they can move. If you think Usain Bolt, and he's pretty tall. Is he like 6'5"? You know, Usain Bolt was the fastest man that ever ran in our modern time and recorded time history. It's right now in our day and time. For the past 100 years that has been recorded. So can you imagine somebody 13 feet tall, 15 feet tall running? You can't run from him. And I'm sure he's pretty strong. If a man gets to be, because you look at the basketball players, let's take Shaq for example. Look how big Shaq is. You don't think Shaq is pretty strong? You don't think some of them NFL players that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", almost 7 feet tall? Some of the guys are 300, but you don't think those guys are strong? I remember Larry Allen of the Dallas Cowboys. I just read recently. I just found this year. I didn't know this guy was strong. I knew he was strong. They just always brag about how good he was and how strong. This guy could bench, and I forgive me if I may be wrong. I believe this guy could bench press like 700 pounds, over 400 pounds, something ridiculous. It was over 500 pounds. I was like, there's no way this guy could bench press that. This guy, that is ridiculously strong. He can grab you up. He can pick you up in the air and snatch you up like a piece of paper. That is a very strong man. So can you imagine what a giant 13 feet tall, 15 feet? Remember, we're going to go 12 feet. I'm quite sure they're pretty strong. Sometimes just naturally strong. They probably can bench 300 or 400 pounds just naturally because they're just big. Their muscles are just strong. And the Bible talks about how they were mighty men, renowned men of old. They were men that they were very strong. They were very wise. And again, to think that any point in time on this planet you would not want to be here, it would have been that time. But Daniel came and said, and Christ, Yahshua, said, the worst time that's going to be on this planet is within that 7 years. And that's why I say we don't know what's going to be on the planet. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, and then the return of the Son of Man, when Christ comes back, the return of Christ, meaning that you don't know what's going to be on this earth. So if there was monstrous beings and giants on the earth, ain't no telling what's going to be crawling on this earth during the time of the great tribulation. You want to be here? You're right. You will be here. If you say, oh, we're going to go through, you're right. You're going to go through the great tribulation. I won't be here. I will be in heaven with my rewards, with my beautiful white, whatever I'm going to be wearing, apparel, okay? He has reserved the unjust until the day of judgment. See, people don't understand what Revelation is about. It's about the last 7 years ministry of the children of the seed of Israel. It's about judgments and punishments. And I just showed you judgment to be punished. It's about judgments and punishments. You better go back and read Revelation if you think the church is going to be here. That's not for us. We're not going to be. Why does God need to judge his children? God don't need to. Christ died for our sins. See, that's a contradictory to Scripture. If he died for our sins, why does God need to run us through the ringer? Oh, well, even though Christ died for your sin, I need to make sure you're faithful. Well, that was the whole purpose of Paul saying if you confess with your mouth and believe it, that was the purpose of that. You've already confessed your allegiance to the one and only true God. My walk with God every single day is my allegiance to him. That's my proof. The fact that I study his word to show thyself approved. Read his word and study his word and walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals things to me. That's my proof to that I'm my alliance to God. God said, I don't need to send you through the great tribulation just to make sure you, because you want to know why? None of us would make it. You would fail. Unless you are the 144,000 in, and I'm not saying that if we had to go through that, we couldn't. We could. But, man, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be tempted to do, especially now. You're going to be tempted to do so many different things? No. Is it possible that we could go? Yeah, it's possible. But according to the Scripture, it's not necessary for the saints to go through the tribulation. Why? We've done our 2,000 years of tribulation. And I've showed you that over in the book of Thessalonians. Amen. So hopefully something was said today to bless your heart, to bless your spirit. I know I didn't get into as many scriptures as I wanted to, but I'm going to share some scriptures here before I shut it down because, like I said, I always have quite a bit of scriptures. And, you know, I'll get around to sharing because I'm saying this eschatology thing, I'm going to be teaching until either Christ returns or until he calls me home. Whichever one comes first, I'm going to be teaching eschatology. So you're going to learn as much as I can give you. Excuse me. And hopefully any and every time I come on the earth, I just pray, amen, that the Bible said whether a two or three guys, if there's just at least two or three gathered in his name listening, I'm hoping that I'm being a blessing to you because you're being a blessing to me just listening. It's a blessing to be able to give you this word. This is why I study as hard as I do. This is why, you know, I pray as much as I do for spiritual wisdom and knowledge from the Most High God to share with you. I'm not here harboring the word or trying to keep it. Anything that I have, I give it freely. For free. I'm not ever commanding that you send $50. The stuff I used to see when I was growing up, man, them guys have become wealthy. Seriously. A lot of televangelists, even now, people on these social media ministries are making a kill, especially last year. My brother told me about, I don't know who it was, he told me about somebody, somehow somebody made like $50,000 within a short period of time. They're like couple of months, 3 months. It's happening. It's happening now. People are making money. I mean, when I say, I'm not going to say ridiculous because there's no such thing when it comes to the word of God and when it comes to salvation, because in my personal opinion, $1 trillion couldn't buy a soul, because we know that it can't. That's why the Bible says that heaven rejoices after one sinner repents. Well, what does it mean when a sinner repents? It means that he comes to God. He comes to Christ. When you repent and come to God, heaven is going off. I mean, you're setting heaven on fire. Them angels is going, because they know the destruction that's coming to man. They know the destruction that's coming to Satan, Lucifer, and the fallen angels and the demons. They know what's coming. And what's coming is unimaginable. They know what the lake of fire is. You know, they know what's coming. They know the terror of the lake of fire. So when we preach and give you this word, it means a lot to me. You know, like I said, like I said, you know, from the beginning, it doesn't matter if it's 10 people listening, 25 people, or 2 or 3 people listening. I'm grateful. Because why? Because it takes a lot to pour out, to give from my spirit, from my soul, to give you this knowledge, this information. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but most of the stuff that I do teach, I hadn't heard it anywhere. There are some things that I've heard from other people, but, you know, we're all original. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people out there teaching good work. They're saying a lot of good and great things, too. That's why I listen, you know, to people. I love to be ministered to. I don't like to just listen to myself. I love to be ministered to. That's why I listen to Elder Bazaar. You know, I listen to other people on the station because I love to be what? Ministered to. It ain't just about Tim. I want to hear what other people say so I can learn some things like, huh, you know, I never heard that before. No, there's some neat things that I've heard, some things that I've heard and I've researched and stuff. There's some things that I heard that are questionable, you know. But I don't knock a person off the planet just because, you know, they say some questionable thing. There are some people who do say some questionable things. I'm like, I question your very salvation to teach something like that. So, you know, but there are a lot of good teachings out there. But I highly encourage people, hey, if you don't want to listen to me, if you feel like this is too heavy or maybe you think it's too light, find you someone who you can stick to. Find someone who you enjoy their word, their teachings, that's good. They say, man, I like this person. And don't just be enticed by a way a person looks or how a person sounds. It's not about that. You know how many people have lost their soul just because they went to somebody's church because they looked good, because they had a nice car, they had money, they dressed nice, they were cute, they were sexy. Man, it ain't about that. Don't let this stuff. But the Bible said, let no man, by any means, the scripture said, let no man deceive you. By any means. That's what it means. With their enticing word, because they look good, because they dress nice, because they know how to play the game. I've seen so many pastors pimp people, let's just tell the truth, and play games with people. I'm just like, And they don't even see it. And taking them to the bank. When I say taking them to the bank, my friend told me about how this one guy, it's funny but not funny. I believe this church was over in, I can't remember if it was Fort Worth or if it was, I think it was in Grapevine, Texas, actually. It was close to the church. In fact, it was Grapevine. He told about this pastor how, this pastor had a singing group. And, you know, people be into that stuff. And it's okay. I love to see groups, you know, nice singing groups. You know, I'm in the Metro, man. You know, in the Metro, there's like a lot of people who can sing, a lot of talent in the Metro. And, you know, how they would, you know, sing and stuff like that, and how he finessed this pastor out of his church. And this church had been in existence for many years, this was like the early 1900s, but he was like an elderly pastor. And I don't know, but my homeboy, he said, because, you know, he used to sing with them or play music with them. And he said, man, yeah, man, he took that guy's church. I said, you serious? He said, yeah, finessed this guy out of his church. Took the church and put the church in his name. I said, how did he do that? He owned the church. And I said, Lord, have mercy. But that's what's going on out here. And it's like, it amazes me how people fall for people because how they look, because they can sing good, because they got a singing group, because they drive a nice, they got a Mercedes or a Bentley or BMW. You'll see stuff like that in some of these churches. I told you. You know, they call Texas the home of the mega churches. And not that this was a mega church, but I'm just saying you know, people can play so many, and not just here in Texas, it's all over this country, all over the world, really. I see them doing it over in Africa and over in Europe, over in certain countries, they finessing people. And I'm like, wow, these people can't see that these pastors are finessing them. But that's because nobody studies the Bible. That's because nobody's studying the Word. We are in the church of Laodicea. You make no bones about it. We are in the wealthy church. That's why you got so many mega churches. We are in the wealthy. That's what Laodicea, that was a wealthy church. They had their nose in the air. They had their chin up. Oh, look at us. That's the age that we live in. The church is popular now. Probably more popular than the past 2,000 years. The church right now today in 2021, going into 2022. For the past 100 years, the churches have become wealthy. And we're probably in the richest church age ever right now. That's what the church lives. This is how we know that we get ready to go home. We're almost at the end. So I just want to share that with you. Again, hopefully my ministry is blessing someone. Hopefully you guys are being blessed spiritually. Be Yahweh's. We'll all be back on the earth tomorrow with Elder Bazaar. I do apologize that I missed Wednesday. I just got caught up with the family. We were sitting there watching movies, and it just slipped my mind. And I didn't know that Wednesday had passed until my brother came over. And I said, man, I got to get ready for the show tonight. He said, you get ready for the show tonight. He said, you missed your show today. I thought day was Wednesday. Yeah, day Wednesday. Man, today is Thursday. I was like, oh. It was just the funniest thing. We laughed about it. We were cracking up laughing. I said, man, I got to apologize to the brother that we missed it. But it happened. You know, I'm not a single man, you know, that don't have anything to do. I have a very, very busy life. I have a life. So it happens, you know. I love people. I love God, but it happens. And I'm flesh. I'm human. I'm subject to anything that anybody else is subject to. And it just, you know, I sit down and was enjoying my family and, hey, having fun with the family got the best of me that day. We were watching movies and watching shows, and it just slipped my mind. So, but be Yahweh's will. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. But you know what? I'm going to continue this next week. I really am. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord. I think we're going more in depth, do some more study and research. I got some more scriptures I want to read, but I'm not going to even read it now because we only got a few minutes left, and I'm not going to read because I'm going to save it till next week so I have even more to talk about. Amen. So we're going to come back. We're going to touch on the book of Joel some more, and we're going to have some more scriptures probably added to them. I'm going to do some more research, be Yahweh's will this week. Family, I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. And I'm just going in and again, enjoy the family and see what we're doing there and enjoy the household. Family, I love you. I really do, man. I love you all. If you're listening, if nobody told you they love you, let me be the first to say today that I love you. Family, take care. Stay safe. Stay out the way. Stay warm. Stay cold wherever you're at. We've still been having some nice hot weather, so I'm thankful for that, which is a little strange at the time of year. Usually we have consistently, but I ain't complaining. So hopefully this is not this people say this cold weather coming. But family, I love you. Take care. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a good night.